Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains, episode 89. Hello, and welcome to The Beauty Brains, a show where real cosmetic chemists answer your beauty product questions. I'm Perry Romanowski, and with me, as always, my co-host, Randy Schuler.
Hey.
How's it going, Randy?
Hey, Perry, welcome to the show, everybody.
Yeah, hey, Randy. You know, I love to listen to podcasts, and one of my favorites is the Startup Podcast from Gimlet Media.
Sure.
If they're listening, by the way, we have the Beauty Brains. Anyway, one of the things I notice that they do at the beginning of their shows is that they always do some type of teaser of, like, what's to come.
Okay.
You know, it keeps people looking forward to what's coming on the show, and so I thought we should do a teaser for today's show.
Okay. How does this work?
All right, well, I'm just going to, I'll read my teaser for today's show.
Okay, here we go.
So, all right, here's the teaser.
Do you want a drum roll or something?
Well, maybe we'll have like a little music or something.
Okay.
Maybe I'll get my sound effects thing.
Oh, please. All right, go ahead.
So in today's episode of The Beauty Brains, you're going to find out whether your clothes can moisturize your skin, if making your own fragrance is a good idea, and the hottest new fragrance you'll have to be wearing this summer.
Oh, I like that. I want to watch this now, or listen to it anyway.
But before we tell you about that, in honor of our July 4th holiday, why don't we travel back in time and talk a little bit about the cosmetics in colonial America?
Oh, that's a great idea. You know, we're, at least for those of you listening to this in real time, we're only a couple of days away from the 4th of July holiday, which, by the way, I never understand this. Do they have 4th of July in England?
I think they have 4th of July all over the world.
I couldn't trip you up. You are too savvy, my friend. They don't have Independence Day, but they
exactly.
do have 4th of July. So this is something we actually wrote about a while ago on the blog, but I thought it would be fun to talk about in the podcast. This was information from this website, fortclock.com, that gave a lot of details of life in colonial America around, you know, the around 1776-ish.
Yes.
And they had some details about how women would make their own makeup. So I thought it was kind of interesting. Maybe we can do a quick comparison of what they did back in colonial days versus what's available now.
Because they made their own because they couldn't go down to the local Duane Reade or Walgreens and get their own stuff.
Yeah, I don't think Walgreens was founded until 1777, so
exactly.
A little bit later. So, okay, so we'll just do a couple of product categories, and this could be fun. So let's talk about lip color. So according to this website, what the colonial women would do for lip color is they would mix beet juice with lard.
Yum.
it's the low-cal alternative, too.
Right. Although I suppose that would be better than mixing, like, beetle shells with lard, right?
I mean, they did have beetles at the time, not the band, but the bug.
There you go, yeah.
So what about blush? You know what they did for blush?
Well, I mean, beet juice is red. I mean, so they probably got a lot of use out of that, right?
The colonials were really big on their beets. There's no doubt about that. But they would also just pinch their cheeks.
Oh. just,
that's really do it yourself.
Yeah. And cheap, really.
Yeah. And then this is one of my favorites, mascara. They would simply moisten their eyelashes with their fingers, just like lick their fingers. It's like nothing says romance quite like saliva-scented eyelashes.
That same thing works for when men had mustaches too, right?
Very good. Excellent point. This is not, these are not tips just for the ladies in the audience.
Sure.
And then anti-aging creams. You know, we think of that, those as a modern invention.
Right.
No, not so. The colonials would rub bacon grease or fat on their face.
it sounds effective, maybe. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, you know, bacon-scented products are all the rage now, so they were actually way ahead of the curve. And, you know, we still use fats in one form or another. I mean, usually vegetable-sourced, I guess, today. Right. But we do also have active ingredients like retinol and niacinamide and so forth that they didn't have back then.
I guess I would worry about acne, comedogenic activity, bacon grease.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then one more. Again, you would think of this as a modern invention, but lip plumpers.
Oh, really?
Lip plumpers. Well, it's very simple. They would
just
let me
guess. Somebody like Like, you had to punch somebody in the face or something.
Yeah, that's a bit extreme. No, they would just bite their lip several times during the day.
Sure.
You know, now we have lip fusion micro-injected collagen limp plumpers. Did I say limp plumper? Lip plumpers.
You did say limp plumpers.
Limp plumpers, that's an entirely different product category.
It's a new product line I'm working on.
Yeah, good luck with that. All right, so anyway, those are just a few, you know, of the cosmetics you might have used if you lived, you know, 200 plus years ago and not in the era of modern beauty products.
Well, we've certainly come a long way since then, right?
We certainly have.
Incidentally, I'm going to try to bite my lip through this entire show to see if my lips get plumped up.
I tell you, if you do that, I promise I will put the video feed up for this podcast.
Oh, my.
All right, well, we're going to do the rest of the show. We're doing beauty science news.
Yeah, let's move on to our cosmetic science news.
You've already teased that segment, so you want to go ahead and take the first one?
All right. So the first story that caught my eye was this one about how P&G, you know, the makers of beauty products like Olay and Pantene and Max Factor, they've gotten in trouble with the Advertising Standards Authority over some of their YouTube videos. I mean, who knew the government was, you know, watching advertising on the internet? I imagine there's some government guy, he's just like trolling through YouTube beauty videos.
It's a good gig if you can get it, yeah.
Anyway, according to the story, one of P&G's hired vloggers, one Ruth Crilly, put up a video on their beauty recommended YouTube channel, and she recommends a lot of Max Factor products.
Okay.
Now, the ASA received a complaint from another beauty and style blogger. So some competing beauty blog out there.
Right. Apparently, it wasn't me. It was not me.
Yeah. Beauty bloggers are really a competitive bunch, aren't we? Anyway, this blogger said that the video didn't identify itself as an advertisement. P&G, of course, protested, but the ASA agreed with them and said that P&G had violated the rules of marketing and communication and misleading advertising. So P&G was then required to ensure that all future ads like this make the commercial intent clear. And their solution to this was the P&G, for all their videos, they just put a hashtag pound ad sign to the beginning of their videos.
Okay.
So I thought this was interesting for a couple of reasons. First, how do we get P&G to give us money for blogging? No, I'm just kidding. Of course, the Beauty Brains, we cannot be paid shills
cannot
for industry.
Do that.
Right?
Well, we can't be low paid shills.
Exactly. And we don't do vlogging.
Right.
Have you seen my hair? My wife keeps telling me I need a haircut. God, I hate getting my hair cut. You know, if I wasn't married, I would look like a hobo. Anyway, the second thing that occurred to me about this story is I wonder how many other beauty bloggers or vloggers out there are being paid by companies, but they're not mentioning it, right?
And it's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, or, you know, they're not mentioning that the reviews were influenced by the fact that they got free samples.
Right.
You know, of course, in the old days of the internet, when we started the Beauty Brains, you know, you could just do whatever you wanted, right?
It was the Wild West, yeah.
It was the Wild West. So, but what this does indicate is if you are a beauty consumer, which everyone listening to the show probably is, you should really be wary of these reviews and articles that you see on beauty blogs because, you know, they could be paid by some beauty company and you not even know it.
Excellent point. Good word of warning.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to do a quick update. It's kind of a related subject because you were talking about, you know, a company sort of running afoul of the law. And we talked about the new law, or at least the new bill that could be passed into law a couple of weeks ago on the show. You know, I'm talking about the Personal Care Product Safety Act.
Right.
And, you know, that's a bill that's been introduced in the United States to provide better regulation for the cosmetic industry. As you recall, if you've remember that episode. If you don't remember it, you should go back and listen to it. But the bill has five or six major provisions. You know, it includes FDA testing of ingredients, better product recall processes, and improved ingredient labeling, just to mention a few. But at the time, we noted that several major manufacturers of cosmetics, they're on board with this thing, right? Because, you know, they're already essentially doing everything that the new bill would require you to do, because they've got big regulatory departments. They're already, you know, dotting all their I's and crossing all their T's for safety testing. So this really isn't a big deal for them. But we predicted at the time that the small manufacturers, the little companies, would have a big problem with this, because it's going to require them to take extra actions, you know, maybe hire people, certainly file more paperwork with the government, you know, spend more money on testing, that sort of thing. Well, sure enough, and I don't know if you saw this, but in the last, week or so, several organizations that represent these smaller cosmetic businesses have come forward to register their opposition to the bill. So I thought it would be interesting to hear their point of view, at least for a couple of these. I also thought it was interesting how many organizations there are that represent these small cosmetic companies. I had not heard of some of these. So, well, let's just do a quick summary here. Now, the first one, and it's the big one, it's ICMAD. ICMAD, the Independent Cosmetic Manufacturers and Distributors. That's a well-known group.
Of course.
And ICMAD said they have a long track record of working with federal regulators to promote safety while honoring the best science in the industry and advancing small business. However, they said, the approach taken in this legislation is in conflict with these goals. Not so much a fan. So there were a couple more, and this one I had never heard of. The Handcrafted Soap and Cosmetic Guild. I mean, it makes sense that they have their own guild, but I'd never would have thought of it. So they said they support much of the bill, including, quote, provisions that help identify ingredients that are potentially harmful, encourage transparency, and give the FDA recall authority, but we cannot support the bill as it currently exists.
Yeah, because soap manufacturers don't want to be regulated, I guess.
Then there's the Coalition of Handcrafted Interpreters. Sorry, let's do that again. The Coalition of Handcrafted Entrepreneurs.
Oh, the interpreters. That was like, I don't know.
I think it's sign language, I thought. I don't know what I was thinking. And they say any new regulatory regime contemplated for the cosmetics industry should recognize the unique role and needs of the handcrafted industry, as well as the choice the industry provides for consumers. So I guess they think consumers should be able to choose unsafe products. Is that their point of view?
I think that is the point of view. Well, that was the advertising slogan that that got the Deshaies Act passed.
Could you be more subtle in your humor? I love Deshaies Act jokes.
Yeah. Deshaies Act is the health food supplement thing that makes the FDA not able to regulate food supplements. Now people are free to buy perfectly unsafe supplements if they want to.
Thanks, Mr. Deshaies.
Sure.
And then I've just got one more, and it's the Handmade Cosmetic Alliance, or the HCA. And the HCA said, subjecting small handmade cosmetic companies which operate with less than a handful of employees to onerous regulation is not only unfair and unprecedented, but creates regulatory requirements that will force businesses to close their doors. So
I'm sure that is a problem.
True, yeah. But again, so you're going to come down on the side of, you know, I don't want to be, you know, held to the same safety requirements that other companies are. I mean, there's a bit of hypocrisy here, don't you think?
I think there's a lot of hypocrisy there, especially since the products are already safe the way they're regulated now. So there you go.
So anyway, and by the way, just remember for the record, Perry says that this bill is not going to pass. So we'll be sure to come back and give you an update when that happens or not.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Randy, are you familiar with the Spanx line of clothing?
Sounds like some sort of S&M line of clothing. I'm not particularly into that, but go ahead.
Now, this is a line of form-fitting underclothes that, you know, they make people look and feel slimmer.
Oh, yeah, I know. I remember now.
Sometimes I like to go out running in my spandex.
But I thought you always went commando when you were joggling.
No, not any longer. Anyway, they were actually all the rage. The Spanx were all the rage. And the inventor of these things made a ton of money. These were the things that kind of replaced girdles and these types of things. Well, here's an inventor who has gone one step further. It's the next generation of Spanx. The company is called Skin Ease, and they've created some figure-flattering undergarments that have microcapsules infused of skin moisturizers.
Yeah, like bacon fat, or what would be in there?
No, I'm thinking more like glycerin, petrolatum, that gotcha. Sort of thing.
Right? All right, good.
And so the idea is, while you wear them, you're also moisturizing your skin. Most impressively, the founder of Skinnies has landed a deal with the retail giant Target to launch the initial run of their thigh smoothers, capri pants, and boy shorts. The owner, she says, it's fashion compression garments with a time-released cosmetic skincare delivery system. Now, talk about multifunctional products, right? They call these new products Cosmeto Textiles, and they're being touted as the next generation of cosmetics. So this idea isn't exactly new, though. Remember those caffeine-infused pants?
Yeah.
Right. And actually, that was, I think we talked about that in a way early show, you know, probably show 20 or something like that. But I was just reading, the FDA actually cracked down, or the FTC cracked down them because they were making anti-cellulite claims.
Right, exactly.
And, of course, they didn't actually work. So I think lawsuits like that might make consumers a bit skeptical about these things. But there have been products with clothes infused with, you know, reducing cellulite, anti-aging effects, or even the sunscreen-released clothing. If all this company is doing is claiming that they're going to have some sort of skin moisturizing, it's probably perfectly fine. Now, whether the products do anything for moisturizing skin, I'm a little skeptical, right?
Well, but I just want to make sure I understand the premise. So the parts of your body that would be covered up by, you know, boy shorts or whatever the other examples you gave, it's like going to moisturize your inner thighs. Well,
right.
I mean, these aren't the parts of the body, I don't think, that most people moisturize anyway. And, you know, there's less of a need because they're not exposed to the sun. So, I mean, are dry thighs like the big problem now that we need to resolve? I mean,
this could be one of those times when we get email comments about how we don't understand.
Well, okay, please, if I'm wrong about this, please write in and let us know. But it just doesn't seem like those are the parts of your body you're most interested in moisturizing. And besides, you're still going to moisturize, you know, with a traditional lotion or cream or whatever, your hands, your face, your arms, your leg, whatever, right? So this doesn't really get rid of a product step, I don't think. I don't know. I'm not sure I really see the benefit.
Yeah, I don't either, but I also don't see whether they would even work, right? It seems like eventually you're going to run out of the infused microcapsule, right?
Right. I mean, that's a good point. I think they would work reasonably well to begin with, depending on how well they loaded them up with stuff. But
I wonder if it would feel kind of greasy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that might be kind of pleasurable. I don't know. But but after a while, you know, you're going to either, they're going to, you know, either migrate all the actives into your skin, or when you, I assume you have to wash these garments once in a while, and those detergents are going to leach out whatever goodies are in there. Because if they're in the fabric, embedded in the fabric so well that they won't come out during the wash cycle, then they're not going to come out on your skin when you're wearing them. So,
upon further reading, they say that you can, they have this spray that you reapply to the fabric after every 10 washes. So.
Okay, couldn't you just spray the product on your dry thighs?
I don't really know where these products are going, but they say this is the future of cosmetics.
Well, let me just ask you this, and I know this is a study of N of one, but has Mrs. Romanowski ever asked you to moisturize her thighs?
No.
Okay.
No, she hasn't.
Okay. Well,
not that I haven't offered.
All right. I rest my case.
Incidentally, this story did give me an idea, though.
Oh.
How about a special Beauty Brains hats infused with hair growth technology? And that little brat who told me I had a little bald spot in my head.
Okay, you got to get over that. It was just a little kid.
All right. Now, I think this would be a great idea if only we could discover some hair growth technology that actually worked.
It sounds to me like you're making up an episode of Improbable Products.
Maybe next time.
All right. Hey, you know, you mentioned sunscreens, you know, or one of the actives that could be delivered from clothing. That's just too much trouble to have to put on a piece of clothing to get sunscreen effect. So, you know, it's always been kind of on our wish list to be able to just take a pill and have that be our sunscreen, right? That would be be the best thing. I'd sign up for that. Well, we may be one step closer to that because of this discovery that fish make their own sunscreen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's actually true that fish and some birds naturally produce a chemical in their body that's a very effective UV absorber. It's called gadisol. And scientists at Oregon State University have been trying to copy that mechanism for use in humans. And this is published in the Journal of Life. And it details how these scientists were able to reproduce this fish mechanism using yeast cells. And they've actually have speculated that this may work in humans in pill form. Now, you know, I wouldn't celebrate just yet because there's still a big question about safety. One of the researchers said something like, you know, well, it's in fish and birds, so it's probably safe for humans. I think I'd want a little more safety assessment than that. I mean, well, you know, snakes produce venom, so that's got to be safe for humans, right? I mean, just because it's in an animal doesn't mean it would translate, but I guess, you know, they understand that this is an issue because they are, you know, doing more studies on, you know, how this stuff is absorbed and distributed and metabolized in the body.
Right.
But, you know, if they can prove it's safe, it looks like maybe a sunscreen pill, you know, could someday be a possibility.
Well, that would be fascinating. You know, now there's the cosmetics of the future, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Just taking pills, not even putting on clothes.
Right.
Hey, we got a couple of fragrance stories, and I know I teased about the fragrance that everyone's going to want to be wearing this summer.
That's the only reason I'm still listening.
But I thought I'd save it, and we'd first talk about whether making your own perfumes is a good idea.
Oh, so you want me to take that one?
Yeah, why don't we take this one?
Well, yeah, it's funny. We just talked about the, you know, the handcrafting associations for fine cosmetics. And wouldn't it be cool if you could handcraft your own perfume? I mean, this is one of those things I've heard talked about, I think, ever since I've been in the industry. You know, people have wanted to do this. And, you know, the idea is you can just make your own personal scent by blending essential oils. And I think most cosmetic chemists dismiss that idea because of the complexity involved in perfume formulating. You know, I mean, back in the day, you and I used to do a little bit of this. I remember when the fragrance houses would come in with their kits of all these different types of oils. And,
part
of it was training our noses to recognize, you know, fragrance concentrations and changes in fragrance stability, you know, profiles. But some of it was just fun to kind of mix things together and see how that smelled. And it was frustratingly hard to, like, just put some things together and have it come out smelling great. You know, you've either got, you know, too dominant of one note or not enough of another. And, you know, a well-formulated, you know, fine fragrance has hundreds of components in there, you know, each that are balanced at just the right level. And
you really have to be an artist to create.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, you've got to have, you know, some of the notes come off initially, you know, what they call the top notes that come off, you know, in the first few minutes or for a few seconds even. And then the middle notes that come off a little later. And then you want some to remain on your skin several hours. And so it smells good in dry down. Those are known as the bottom notes. So, you know, when you look at the complexity of putting that together to get a fragrance to smell a certain way, it's incredibly difficult. On top of that, then, you've got the fact that these fragrance materials are reactive. And, you know, sometimes they don't play well with each other.
Right,
and
right.
Something that may smell great, you know, when you first mix it up, you know, a couple hours or days or weeks later can go horribly, you know, rancid, so because the oils will react with one another. So very difficult to create the right kind of nuanced scent. So it hasn't really been possible for the average consumer to play perfumer, at least not until now. We just received a press release from a company who is in fact offering do-it-yourself perfumery. The company is called Unique, and just to show you how unique it is, they spell the company name with two U's.
Wow.
That's really unique.
I wonder if our old friend Yui's involved in this.
I thought about that too. So they say that they're allowing customers to become perfumers themselves and create their own individual perfumer cologne. It's a startup company that's been working with perfumers and software engineers to create this progressive online tool. So basically you would go online, you punch in, you know, I guess the characteristics of fragrance that you like. And then they have what they describe as 50 premium essences, like rose oil and vanilla and grapefruit and musk and so forth. And then you can customize your own bottle of perfume right there. So, wow. I mean, it's kind of cool. Without knowing all the details, you know, I'm guessing what they've done here is used the software to put some boundaries around which ingredient combinations are used. You know, that would reduce the chances of having stability problems if the software is good enough to sort of predict that and not let you put, you know, I don't know, whatever, you know, geraniol with vanillin or something, you know, two things that just are known not to work together. So, you know, that may make this possible. Now, I'm concerned about the value proposition for the consumer. Yeah. Because it's fairly expensive. It's like $70 for an ounce at their special price.
So let me get this straight. Yeah, you go online, you mix your things virtually, and then they send you the thing. So you don't have to have,
Okay.
So you customize your own.
Yeah, cool. So it's $70 at their introductory price. It's $170 for the regular price.
Wow.
Now, you know, the chances of you just being able to sit there online and put something together that's going to be amazing, that you're really going to like, I think the odds are kind of low of that happening, right? I mean, unless they have their perfumers screen it before it goes out, but then it's not really what you made. Like, I just don't quite get how you're going to really get something good out of this. Now, maybe they could, send you a scent strip with your own fragrance before you pay for it.
Probably not doing that.
Right. Or, you know, maybe they got a money back guarantee or something. I don't know. I think it's one of those things that sounds really cool, but in practice, it's really not going to play out that well. Now, if anybody gets to try this, let us know. But I'm just skeptical this will be as fun and satisfying as it sounds.
Right. This sounds more like something you'd go to like a mall and you have a group of people and you could mix things right on hand.
That would be, that's the way to do it.
You know, it's sort of like those Build-A-Bear or Hearst stores or something like that.
That's actually a great idea. Because I walked by the Lush store at the mall the other day.
Oh, I can't go by those stores.
I know. It gives me a headache. But every time I go by there, it's packed. Yeah. So I think some sort of handcrafted perfume shop could really do well.
Yeah, I think that would work. So we'll see if that translates to online. All right, we promised to tell you at the beginning of the show about the hot new fragrance for the summer. You want to know what that is?
I can't wait.
Do you? Are you
sure?
Yes,
please.
Well, according to this story, NASCAR veteran Jimmy Johnson is teaming up with gas station Sunoco to release a new cologne called Burnt Rubber.
Oh, come on.
It is a unisex eau de toilette that has a faint hint of racetrack smell. So if you want to smell like a racetrack or say you're in an elevator and the odors suddenly transport you to the car races, this is the product for you.
I always thought the scent of the racetrack was more about stale beer and corn dogs than anything else, but...
Well, apparently it's burnt rubber. Hmm. Now, I'm going to go on record. I think this is going to be the huge fragrance of the summer. I mean, I have a good track record in these sort of things. Who wouldn't want to smell like rubber tires, right? Now, we have to ignore the fact that, you know, remember that last time I was wrong about the latest big trend that I thought?
Which time when you were wrong? There's so many.
Remember those Wow chips? I thought that was going to rev... That was going to revolutionize the potato chip industry.
Those were the fat-free chips with olestra instead of regular fat. And the problem was they sort of lubed up your digestive tract a little too much.
I thought it was totally unfair that they had to put causes anal leakage on their packaging. That was just not fair. And now you can't even find those chips anymore.
It's sad. So assuming that, you know, that was just a one-off, that you were wrong about that, I think this... This whole thing about smelling like a burnt condom, I think you're right on for that one. Is that it? Burnt condoms?
No, just burnt rubber.
Oh.
Actually, sorry. You know, it's funny. The name of the name of the cologne is burnt, and then the word rubber has like two little accent marks over the E. So I think it's actually burnt rubber.
Well, all the great perfumes are French, so...
Exactly. You know, this story also reminded me, remember that company Demeter?
Oh, they do like grass and
fragrance,
real like basic single note fragrances, that sort of thing.
Right. They have rain, they have snow, they have holy water.
What?
Daisy.
Wait. Yeah, they have a holy water fragrance?
They have a holy water fragrance.
Seems a little blasphemy.
They have a fragrance called Sex on the Beach.
Yeah, okay.
Then they have a grass fragrance.
Yeah. Wait, is this for Colorado?
Then they have a fragrance called Dirt. Okay. So if you want to smell like dirt.
Okay.
Another one of their top ones is Dandelion. So,
if I was making my own fragrance, I would just mix and match these and like do a little Demeter, a little bit of this new NASCAR. Dirty Rubber Tires would be my fragrance. That's what I would wear.
I think my favorite Demeter. I don't know how we say this.
I have no idea.
Maybe we can get them to sponsor the show. No, but one of my favorite scents of theirs was they have the Play-Doh smell.
Oh, so I do.
If you
like
wanted
that.
To smell like Play-Doh, you can wear Demeter.
If we're hearkening back to favorite childhood scents, I would like one that smells like Crayola crayons. Right? Do you know the smell of that?
Oh, yeah, that's sort of the waxy kind of
smell.
You
know what that is? You know what ingredient in crayons gives that smell?
Just the wax? No, I didn't.
It's the stearic acid. That's the scent of stearic acid. So I loves me some stearic acid smell.
That's a pretty good brand name, the scent of stearic acid.
All right, well, good luck, Mr. NASCAR guy, with that fragrance. So I'd be interested to see how that happens. All right, well, Perry, you know what? We have talked the hell out of this show.
Indeed we have, and you learned the fragrance that you're going to have to wear this summer.
Love that teasing approach. If we were really good, we would tease what we're doing in next episode to get people to come back next week.
Oh, if only we knew. But you know what we do? We do have. We hadn't mentioned that we have a book. It's okay to have lead in your lipstick.
And other beauty questions that you're dying to learn the answer to.
Answer to, yeah. It's a little different, but I think we're going to have to release a new book soon. So. Well, and, of course, follow us on Twitter.
And Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Validate us in life. Yeah.
There you go. And what we really want you to do is come back next week to our show and listen to us explain whether or not 7-day volume treatments really work.
Oh.
How's that for a teaser?
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to.
All right.
All right, that's all we have for today.
Okay.
And remember, as Randy says,
be brainy about your beauty. Thanks, everybody.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July.